The latter days of just about any legislative session feature allocations of money to a series of local projects. Just before the Oregon legislature quit for the year, this year, it plunked down $500,000 for a sobering center in Grants Pass. The public money is meant to augment private money already raised for the center. So then we move on to, what does a sobering center do? For that, we turn to Bill Landis, who is the Grants Pass Public Safety Director. Bill, welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Well, thanks very much for having me.
For the folks who are wondering about the title, you're in charge of police and fire in the city of Grants Pass, correct?
Correct. We have a public safety department that has police, fire, and 911 communications under the same roof.
So what is the need, what does the need for the Sobering Center, what need does the Sobering Center address, I guess, is what I'm trying to ask here.
Well, back in the day, we had what we referred to as detoxes in many communities, and those kind of went away. There's a law, ORS 430399, that allows law enforcement to take persons who are highly inebriated or impaired to, at the time, what the ORS provided was treatment facilities. So we started looking in our community at trying to do something like that, and it's almost cost prohibitive, and it only singles out one treatment provider to try to make that happen. So Sobering Centers was kind of a concept where all treatment providers, including mental health, could gain persons who basically could sober and then transition into treatment once they've had that sobering period. So much more cost efficient, and we started making public-private partnerships to make this a reality about 3 years ago.
You talked about the old detox centers disappearing. What happened to them?
I think cost prohibitive. Today in Oregon, I think there's currently three facilities, Hooper in Portland, Buckley and Eugene, and Moore Center in Medford, and all of those are affiliated with treatment. So the Sobering Center concept was to form sort of a nonprofit and have, like in Grants Pass, we have five treatment providers. So this Sobering Center would have persons who sobered up and could transition to any one of those treatment providers to start getting some help.
When you described the people that could be using the Sobering Center as highly inebriated, are there particular levels of blood alcohol content or anything like that that are involved here, or is it just a general set of behaviors that go with those?
Yeah, general set. Also, basically, we make the determination that they're a danger to themselves or others. You know, they're almost either passed out or wandering into traffic or just can't seem to, function. And so with the weather elements, whether it's the heat of summer, the cold of winter, or other factors, it's a chance to get them somewhere to be safe.
Now, so when you were splitting out treatment from what goes on at the Sobering Center, so that there's no actual, this is not the beginning of their treatment, it's just a place to just dry out, essentially.
Correct. Yeah, it basically, and then with a counseling session the morning after they're sober, basically, they have an opportunity to look at housing, to look at mental health services, to look at getting to a treatment provider, all the things that possibly could help and benefit them.
Is the creation of the Sobering Center in Grants Pass in any way related to the ongoing issues with jail funding in Josephine County?
You know, it was part of it. I would say, and my opinion was, we were waiting for these people to commit some sort of a misdemeanor, a trespass, a disorderly conduct, give them an arrest record, when really what they needed was to get somewhere where they could sober up. So even if I had a full jail complement, it really isn't the way to, spend money and to treat people who are basically not needing to go to jail. So I'd say for other communities, which has now gotten the attention around the state, I understand Bend is looking at it, Douglas County, it's really something that we don't need to be doing to this particular population.
So it doesn't rise to the level of a crime of any kind, really, not even a misdemeanor. It's just that they need to be safe for themselves and for others.
Correct. This is not an arrest. It's just an ORS that allows us to take these persons to a place. And that's what the legislation did this year. They added Sobering Centers to that current existing law.
We're talking to Bill Landis, the Grants Pass Public Safety Director, about Sobering Centers. Grants Pass is supposed to be home to a Sobering Center perhaps sometime next year with a new allocation of $500,000 from the Oregon State Legislature. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange as we talk about the Sobering Center concept and its execution specifically in Grants Pass. 800-838-3760 by phone anywhere in the region, 800-838-3760, or by email jx@jeffnet.org. So given that there's no treatment, what are the general facilities like? What happens at a Sobering Center, Bill?
It's pretty bare bones. It's just a chance for someone to be safe. So it's pretty much a concrete room, if you will. It has a stainless steel toilet and a 2-inch mattress. And most of those folks just need to go to sleep and sleep it off anyway. So they come in. There's a, kind of an initial screening. They're placed in one of those rooms and they're monitored. And they can be held for up to 24 hours and then released. And at the release point, we give them the opportunities, like I said, to get into any of those programs that might be beneficial.
So they are locked in. It's not like they can leave at any time, right?
Correct.
And so, and what kind of monitoring is that? I guess I'm concerned about the people who are drunk enough to, or inebriated in whatever way, enough to perhaps vomit and all the things that can potentially happen there.
Sure. So about every 15 minutes, they're monitored by the person basically who's tasked with monitoring them. There's also initial screening, so if there was any indication of a medical problem or what have you, they would be taken to an ER to be screened further. But again, it's still much safer than leaving them out where they're not monitored at all, should they have those same problems.
Now, you mentioned the Moore Center in Medford. Is that doing the same sort of thing you plan to be doing in Grants Pass?
Yeah, except, like I said, they are affiliated with a treatment provider, Addictions Recovery Center, and so it's a sole treatment slash sobering. It also brought to light that we really had these sobering centers. They just were kind of under that umbrella of treatment, and it was cost prohibitive and also limiting to other treatment providers. So sobering centers now can be a standalone, can help, in my opinion, a broader array of treatment providers who already exist.
Okay, so that is the difference, is that the places you cited, Medford, Eugene, and Portland, do have a treatment thing. We're not talking about treatment here with this. Treatment options get presented to them after they're done with the sobering center part of it.
Correct. And also at those places, those folks can just walk out with receiving no treatment post the sobering period. So the same options applied there. It just the ORS didn't have what it needed to provide, which was to make these be able to stand alone.
Okay. And when we say ORS, we're talking about Oregon Revised Statutes that guide, well, the laws of Oregon. This is a public-private partnership. Is that right, Bill?
That's correct. It's the way it was always intended. And we started out, we've raised over $300,000 locally, probably have about 10 partners, including the city of Grants Pass. Groups like Asante All Care and Primary Health and private donors and banks and you name it have all come on board thinking it's a great thing.
And how big a sobering center are we talking about? How many people would you be able to fit at any given time as currently envisioned?
Well, we did our homework to look at what was happening around the state and what we thought based on our population. So we have one common hallway, and we're going to have 14 individual rooms for persons. And it's a pretty basic bare bones. At one end, you have the intake area where they're brought in, a common hallway and the rooms across from each other, and at the other end, a parking lot for staff to enter. So it's pretty basic.
All right. And do you have, I mean, how detailed are the plans? Do you have a site? Do you have people to run it, all that sort of thing?
Yes, we have a site. We have plans. We're ready to put a shovel in the ground as soon as we receive our funding.
All right. So, and what is the site that you're talking about?
It's basically an existing recycling center that we're going to retrofit the building. So it's in Southwest Grants Pass, and we're currently in the process of actually securing the purchase of the property.
All right. So interesting. So how long has it been since it was used as a recycling center?
It actually still is, kind of not to the same degree. Mostly it's bundling clothing and the such. So it's still kind of in use. It's just recycling was what it once was. So they're looking at getting out of the business there.
All right, we're talking again to Bill Landis, the public safety director in Grants Pass, which is the police and fire chief in essence, about the sobering center set to come to Grants Pass with help from the state legislature. You can join us at 800-838-3760 or by email jx@jeffnet.org. Well, this is really a recycling center getting recycled itself, and it sounds like given the bare bones nature of the sobering center itself, it will not take a great deal of money for renovation.
That's correct. We're still actually out to bid right now to see what that exactly is going to cost. With plans, the purchase of the property, we're looking at $1 million, but we think we can do it for a lot less right now. So that's our hope, depending on what the bids come in at.
And how much time, Bill, did you or anyone else from Grants Pass spend with legislators convincing them of the importance of plunking down some money for this?
Well, it's really kind of interesting how that started, but Representative Hicks proposed a bill once we were asking for the same liability protection to add us to that Oregon revised statute. Once we added sobering centers, it allowed us to have liability protection, much like the treatment facilities did. So House Bill 2936 is what happened in this legislature. And during that time, the attention that it got, that is actually where the funding mechanism came into being, so that other communities, the addictions mental health budget, I believe, rose by $6 million, of which they apportioned out money to have us help us build ours. So it really was twofold. One, we got the bill that helped us get liability protection, and then on top of it, looked at funding that would help others around the state, including ourselves. So I made, I think, three or four trips up to Salem. I testified in front of the House Judiciary Committee, and Representative Dwayne Stark, who was big in this, who took the torch after Representative Hicks didn't rerun for election. And it was just great to have them work on something that was so important to not just Grants Pass, I think, but other communities around the state.
And I see that you had help from representatives of both parties, both in the House and the Senate. So you had the Democrats and Republicans from Southern Oregon helping you get this across the finish line.
Yeah, I think everybody saw the importance and what a good thing this would be. So, yeah, it was nice to see some bipartisanship happen.
That liability protection sounds like a key piece of this, because if you're running someplace like a sobering center where people are, first of all, you're taking them there because you don't want them to hurt themselves, and then there's always the potential that they could within the walls there. That sounds like that was a major stumbling block on the way to getting a sobering center open.
Oh, it absolutely was, and that's why that was our first big push, which we were so happy to see the bill get drafted and then sponsored. But yeah, we were basically going to be in trouble without that House bill and that same protection, which the others who were doing the exact same thing already had.
So it had to be specifically written to allow this particular sobering center. In fact, I looked at the bill. It really is as specific as this sobering center in this city, isn't it?
It actually does cover the term sobering centers and defines what sobering centers are, mm-hmm. so that anyone could actually do the same thing and receive that same protection.
All right, I must have looked at it a little too fast. So the issue is that you're not on the hook. You're going to be sued for $50 million or something if somebody gets hurt in the sobering center.
Well, unfortunately, anybody can be sued, but what it's supposed to offer us, hopefully, is the protection that for operating properly and stuff, that we can't be held responsible for something that happens outside of that malicious type of thing where someone would intentionally do something to someone.
All right. So as long as you're operating the way you're supposed to be operating, you should be within the realm of liability there, or not liability.
Correct.
So the $500,000 dedicated to the center, does that just get the doors open, or is that operating money as well?
That's just going to be able to get the doors open. And we are currently raising the partnerships to now start the operational push. So going back to our partners to say, okay, looking at our annual operating costs, which we estimate to be around $260,000, our partners hopefully to dedicate their funding to make sure that we can now operate. And I'm confident we're going to get there at the same time we finish the project.
And so what is the date that you're shooting for to open the doors of the Sobering Center?
We're looking at a January, February 2016. So we're looking at about a five-month retrofit construction project, and simultaneously begin to train staff and hopefully be operating sometime very early 2016.
All right, so that is a pretty short timeline. And then how many staff will the center require?
Basically, we're going to look at one director or supervisor, and then staffing that would allow us to run 24/7. It only requires one person to be staffed at the facility during any typical shift. So it's a pretty lean type of a personnel operation.
And Chief, is this the kind of place where if you had it open, you could fill it pretty much today? I mean, do you get that many incidents of people who are intoxicated enough to be of a concern?
You know, I think so. I think there's spikes. So some days I think it could run pretty full, and other days it could run pretty lean. Looking at statistics, I think the Moore Center gets about 67% new persons that come through the door, which means a lot of people don't, a lot of people were worried about recidivism, but apparently looking at statistics, not a lot of the same persons come through the door. So they either get into treatment or help or move along, or who knows exactly what happens. But so that could have an impact, too, over time.
All right, so a different model coming to Grants Pass. Look for the opening of the Sobering Center January or February of 2016. Bill Landis is the Public Safety Director in Grants Pass. Chief, thanks for joining us today on The Exchange.
Thanks very much for having me.